Hi, it's Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Janice Stepp, who is the CEO of Nacha. Jan, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome. Glad to speak with you, Karen.
So, Jan, the reason for our chat today is to get your perspective on something the CFPB issued last week, and that's the guidelines that they think are necessary to protect consumers in a world of faster payments. And so I guess to start, I'd love to get your perspective on why you think the CFPB is getting involved, and did it come as a surprise to you that they are?
You know, frankly, it was not too much of a surprise other than, I think, publishing these in such a formal way last week. But the reason I wasn't surprised overall is that when you think about any change to an existing or a new payment system, it's actually a great idea to have principle-based goals and objectives. And I'm sure that the CFPB published these principles because they envisioned that faster payments could be a new payment type that consumers use. And they're obviously focused on consumer protection in the financial environment. As it applies to consumer protection, Nacha really has worked for decades supporting any and all efforts to help ensure that the needs and interests of all system stakeholders, including consumers, are considered and addressed. And we really align our rules with many of these principles that the CFPB articulated. So ACH payments themselves, Karen, are governed by the Nacha operating rules that actually offer significant consumer protections even beyond those required by the federal regulation. And I think as a new payment system or new payment capabilities come about, designing rules that are complementary to regulations and existing payment rules that are aligned with principles will all be very important.
So what do you think that they intended to accomplish, given that we're just kind of getting started? I mean, the work is underway, obviously, within the same-day ACH parameters that you are spearheading on behalf of your members, and there really isn't anything else going on. Why now?
Yeah. Again, I think it makes sense at the very beginning of an initiative to have principles that can guide future discussions. And the CFPB is involved in the Federal Reserve Faster Payments Task Force, as am I. And again, I bring kind of that perspective to our discussion today. The principles are what I would really term high-level goals for a payments capability that then actually need to be translated into both the technology to deliver those goals and rules that can help to define very precise roles, responsibilities, and expectations. And it's this confluence of the technology, or really the delivery of those capabilities, and the rules, which are the warranties and guarantees around the payment, that will help to deliver these principles. Mm-hmm. So it is, you know, a bit of a dance to begin with, to say what will the capabilities be, what will the technology be, what are the overhanging regulations, and then how can you use rules to really make sure that principles such as the CFPB has outlined come into fruition.
Well, it sounds like, though, based on what you said earlier, that what the ACH network and operating rules do is to provide that already, and in many cases go above and beyond what is required. So what's new here?
Yeah, part of it is the unknown of what may evolve from the Federal Reserve's Faster Payment Task Force, right? Mm-hmm. So with an unknown, I think many organizations, including the CFPB, are trying to figure that out. With the ACH network, in contrast, we've been a rulemaking organization for over 40 years now. And so I look at it through the lens of how rules can really help provide surety and certainty to users of a payment system. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, and I think it's important to realize that when compared to other geographies, the United States, and especially the U.S. ACH payment system, already has very strong consumer protection via both rules and regulations. The regulations provide general consumer protections, and then, for example, the Nacha operating rules extend those even further, and they align with the capabilities or the technology of the network itself. So again, I think the principles are good in giving direction, but a strong, comprehensive rule set for any new payment capability is also a critical requirement.
So there are 9 of these principles that the CFPB has published. You've probably taken a look at it. Are there those that you think are particularly important? And the flip side of that, any of them that you think are perhaps extraneous?
Yeah. Well, a couple things. Again, just to focus on those aligned traditionally with consumer protection. I mentioned a minute ago that the NACHA rules go beyond what is required by regulations, and that are in areas such as fraud protection, transparency, funds availability. Those are 3 of the CFPB principles that I think will definitely need to move forward with any new payment capability. But just to give you a couple quick examples, while Reg E states that errors need to be investigated, the NACHA rules explicitly state that a financial institution must promptly recredit a consumer. Reg E also speaks generally to authorization requirements, whereas our rules state that an authorization must be clear and readily identifiable, that a consumer must be notified if there's a change in an amount or in a change in a scheduled debit date. All of these specific rules help with transparency. Mm-hmm. And funds availability, they call that out as a specific principle. And again, the NACH operating rules are very specific compared to other payment types, because we know things such as payroll are important for a consumer. And so we have rules that state exactly when the funds will be made available for an ACH credit. And even now, as we've gone through our same-day ACH rulemaking, funds availability was part of that. Again, outlining when payments move faster, you want to know as a consumer when the funds will be available. So those are important in terms of, I think, moving forward. Other principles, for instance, access, might actually be confusing or perhaps less important. And it's interesting, again, comparing to other geographies, that in the U.S., our ACH system is very open, mm-hmm. especially when compared to other countries. We have access to the ACH directly through a financial institution, through multiple FIs, or through a third party. But this access requires balance with consumer protections. And again, it's something that we've worked through over the years. ACH has very open access, again, very different than other countries where regulators are right now asking for more open access. And our rules in this regard could actually help to guide a new payment system where access is an objective, where different processors or banks desire to have direct access to a system. But the second point, and I think maybe this is where the CFPB is coming from relative to access, is that consumers want to have access to new technology. And when the Federal Reserve issued their consultation paper on payment improvement in the fall of 2013, actually very few parties stated anything about access, probably because we have a very open system already. Mm-hmm. But some consumer groups actually indicated that open access should not be given in order to protect consumers, to protect them from other parties in a payment system. So again, I think this is where rules can come in to help define who has access and then what requirements align with granting access to make sure this balance between access and consumer protection is at the right balancing point.
One of the things that struck me as I was reviewing this is the blurred lines between their interpretation of the actual rails that move the money and the products built on top of the rails that leverage that funds transfer capability. Do you think that they're making the distinction between the rails that make the funds transfer possible and then the products that sit on top of that?
Yeah, I think you ask a very interesting question, because I think they are not making that distinction, and perhaps they should. Because if there's not a distinction, it will be really important to align the technology, the capabilities with the regulations, and then have very adaptable rules to make sure that, again, what's done kind of in a core rail versus products or services on top are identifiable. So let me give an example of what I think about when you ask that question. The ACH network is a foundation, as most people know, that provides both settlement between banks as well as a variety of payment types that use the NACHA operating rules to define the way in which those payments are authorized mm-hmm. by the internet, by the telephone, mm-hmm. or, you know, via paper signature. And again, that is a flavor of the products or services on top of the ACH network. Mm-hmm. So as a foundation, the ACH allows for layers of functionality to be built on top of it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in these layers above a network where value is created. And this is a layer, for instance, where transparency relative to payment status messaging could be built. Mm-hmm. And they talk about that in the transparency principle. So when thinking about this layered approach to delivering functionality, the principles have to be viewed, I think, in a very general way, again, applying to both the technology or the delivery mechanism, and then to rules that can interpret roles or responsibilities that align with those capabilities. Mm-hmm.
So final question, and maybe I didn't read this carefully, but I seem to feel as though they're calling out a distinction between old rails and improving old rails and building a brand new network, kind of suggesting that new is better since old is, well, old. Do you think that that's a distinction worth making in these guidelines?
You're probably correct in reading in that characteristic. But I do think rather than just saying, you know, old or new is good or bad, there probably is a distinction in capability between what exists today and what may be built in the future. So again, I think change may be the reason that these principles were issued versus just old or new and good or bad. And again, I think rules can help you bridge from today to tomorrow. So I spoke a few minutes ago about our recent rules initiative, Same Day ACH, which is in fact an existing immediate action mm-hmm. that the payments industry is taking to speed up payments across the United States. So Same Day ACH creates new options for all types of users and functionality that can be leveraged in the future for real-time payments and other products. But as such, with this new capability, we also have an additional rule speaking to one of the principles, funds availability. Mm-hmm. It requires everybody working together to say, in a current day, with same-day ACH, funds will be made available that day. It requires everyone agreeing to support such functionality at the receiving account. And again, this is why I think the ubiquity of a capability changes, be they to an old system or a new system, really require mandated rules for the receiving account that supports this surety and certainty for the end user when they're making a payment. So yes, new and old might be different, but I think, again, as we look at it, rules can transcend those changes and continue to address areas that are important for consumers and businesses alike into the future.
Well, Jan, thanks very much for your perspective on what we're all trying to wrap our heads around with respect to the CFPB and their position on faster payments and the guidelines that they think are important. Thanks again.
You're welcome.